Okay, Rabbi Yisai, today's daf is daf Kuf Yud Tes, and we're holding the third line from the top of the Yamud, where the Gemara begins, Amar Mar. V'habonim notlu b'schus avi avihem u'b'schus avi imoisehem. What is this referring to? This is going back to the brisa that we had on Kuf Yud Zayin Amud Beis. You recall, five lines from the top of Kuf Yud Zayin Amud Beis, the Braisa said that Meraglim, the other 10 Meraglim, the other 10 spies who were quote unquote not such good guys, they did not get a chelik baretz. Instead, Yeshua v'kalev not luchalkam. Yeshua v'kalev, instead of just getting each one individual chelik, each one got besides their own chelik another 5 chalakim, right? They split up the other 10 Rabban's chalakim. Misloin nevadas koirach, and you remember the Gemara changed the not the girsa, but the pshat, to misloinim shebi adas koirach, the 250 maktire haktoires that were together with adas koirach, lo yoylem chelik ba'aretz. They didn't get a chelik at all. Zero. Gunished. Not that they didn't get a chelik, there were no yorshim to get their chelik. Their chelik was taken away, so that, as we gave an example yesterday, assuming that there were initially 600,000, everybody, they would have split up Eretz Yisrael into 600,000 pieces, but because of the fact that these 250 were bad guys, so now Kadosh Baruch Hu went and divided up Eretz Yisrael into 599,750 pieces. So now the Gemara tells us, what about the Kindelach? Habonim, meaning the children of Lemoshul, the Misloinim Badas Koirach, how are they going to go and get a chelik if their fathers, they didn't get a chelik at all? So what are they going to go and do? So Zokta Braisa, Habonim not lebeschus avi avien, lebeschus avi imoiseyan. So if you had children of these Adas Koirach people, they wouldn't go and get in schus of their fathers. They would rather get in schus of their grandfathers. Meaning, so if you have some of the 250 of the Adas Koirach, in addition to their coming into Eretz Yisrael, not Eretz Yisrael, to the Midbar, because they were the Yoitz Mitzrayim. Remember that the stories of both of the, specifically, of the Misloinim Adas Koirach, as well as the Meraglim, those both took place at the very beginning of the 40 years in the Midbar. In the second year after they came into the Midbar, you had the story of the Adas Koirach and you had the story of the Meraglim. Okay, so that being the case, those people that were part of these groups, let's just focus on the Misloinim Adas Koirach, they were all over 20 when they came into the Midbar, so therefore they should have, assuming that you hold, like Rabbi Yoshia, that Eretz Yisrael was Nischalka L'Yoytze Mitzrayim, they were all Yoytze Mitzrayim. However, they lost their chelik because of their sin of joining Koirach, V'adosoi, etc. So they didn't get a chelik. So what happens now to their children that are born now in the Midbar, they're going to come into Eretz Yisrael. What chelik are they going to go and get? She says the Braisa, they're going to go and get the schus of avi avien. In other words, the 250 Adas Koirach people, when they came into the Midbar, they presumably came with their fathers as well. So when they came in with their fathers, now that the father, that the Adas Koirach people passed away, their children are going to be zoicha in the chelik of their grandfathers, of the Zaydis, that were the Yoitz in Mitzrayim. And the same thing on the maternal side, also the Zaydis, assuming that there were no brothers. If the Baba had brothers, then they would take over this chus. But assuming that she had no brothers, then it would be taken over by the family, by the husband, and therefore the Einikul would be able to go and get a chus in Eretz Yisrael. Anyway, that was the Brais and Kuf Yizayin Amud Beis. Now the Gemara asks Akasha, I have a stira. Again, back to Kuf Yud Tes Amud Aleph, third line, Amar Mar, Vabonim, the children of the Misloinim Shabbat Dadas Koirach, where did they get their chedik from? Babonim not lubischos avi aviyam, ubischos avi moiseyam. Both zaydis, the paternal and maternal zaydis. Vaitum batan, we have a price of bischos atzman. They got in their own schus. They didn't need to go and get a schus from the earlier generations. They got in their own schus. So I have a steer between the two brises. So it's more like kasha. According to the first brisa, who was Eretz Yisrael given to? The Yoitz Mitzrayim. No, if it's the Yoitz Mitzrayim, even though the children and emiklach of these Mesloinim came into Eretz Yisrael, they didn't get their a schus nachl in Eretz Yisrael because of being boya oretz. Because according to the first brisa, the only one that had this schus to receive a nachla were the Yoitz Mitzrayim. And even though the Yoitz Mitzrayim didn't receive it themselves because they all passed away in the midbar, but that nachla that they would have, should have, and could have gotten when they would have entered into Eretz Yisrael, that they gave to their descendants. Okay, so the first brayis when it says the banim not lubischos avi aviyam holds the Yoitz Mitzrayim. The second brayis is bischos atzman holds that the bohi oretz, none of the avi aviyam and the avi moiseyam came into Eretz Yisrael. That being the case, they got bischos atzman because they were bohi oretz. So that was shot number one. Vi bohi seima and nochat eretz hava hal bohi oretz. Both brayis are talking about the bohi oretz. It really depended on these bonim that we're talking about. How old were the bonim? If when they entered into Eretz Yisrael they were 20 years or older, then they were zoicha in a chedek in Eretz Yisrael. However, if they were less than 20 years old, then they didn't have a schus mitzad atzman. Remember we had in the Gemara before, it says le'eila techolik aretz, the Gemara said le'eila ko'eila, let's say skoela, that they have to be at least 20 years old, because that was the minion of the Jews in Parshas Pinchas. They had to be meben esrim shona v'mala. So if they're 20 years and higher, then they got a chelik baretz. If mitzad atzman, if on the other hand they were less than 20 years old, then they wouldn't be able to go and get a chelik in Eretz Yisrael mitzad atzman because of the fact that it was leboi haaretz. The Rishbam points out that when we're talking about the children of the Misloinim Shabbadas Koirach, and we're saying that they were Ben Esrim and not Ben Esrim, if you think about it, says Rishbam, L'chor, they would have to be Ben Esrim, because since the Misloinim Shabbadas Koirach all passed away in the second year of the 40 years in the Midbar, that means any children that they had at the time of leaving the Midbar, going to Eretz Yisrael, they would have to be at least 38 years old already at that time. So how could you have that a child would be less than 20 years old? Says Rishbam, that in fact we're not referring to the children of the Misloinim, but we're referring to the Einiklach of the Misloinim Shabbadas Koyach. And the Rishbam says, therefore, when we're quoting from the Baisa, Vabonim notlu b'schus avi aviyam, according to the second Teret, we're going to have to say Vabonim notlu b'schus avi Avi, avihem. What means avi, avi, avihem? That means that we're not going to go to the misloinim, shebadas koirach. We're not going to go to their, we're going to go to their fathers, but vis-a-vis the children that are coming into Eretz Yisrael, whether they happen to be 20 or less than 20, these are not the children of the misloinim, but these are already the einiklach of the misloinim, because if you are below the age of 20, by definition, you could not have been born to those misloinim. Those misloinim died in the second year. So you got 38 years to go. They couldn't be less than 20. So we're talking about the einiklach, the grandchildren of the misloinim, where those grandchildren, they're not going to get bischus, the misloinim, but rather they're going to go and get bischus, the loshen of the braisa, Bischus not avi avihem. Avi avihem would mean the father of Misloinim. That avi avihem is really avi, avi avihem. These grandchildren of Misloinim are not looking to the Zayda, the Misloinim, but he's looking to the father of the Misloinim, which for him is now his great-grandfather and not just a grandfather. Anyway, bottom line is, we have the two pshatim, how to understand the two brises. Now back in our Mishnah, if you remember, it said that the Bnei Slofchad got three chalokim. One chelik al Slofchad, who was Yoytze Mitzrayim, and then two chalokim based on Chefer. Why two chalokim? Because Slofchad was the Bechor of all of Chefer's children. How could that be? After all, neither Slofchad nor Chefer ever entered into Eretz Yisrael. They never owned any karka in Eretz Yisrael. It was only Roy. They should have gotten a chedek in Eretz Yisrael, but they never got one. So it's only Roy. And we know Bechor is not Noitel Baroi Kibbe Mukhsik. Now we already addressed this question yesterday, and the answer that we gave is that Eretz Yisrael is Mukhzek is he to Klal Yisrael Me'avoyseinu from Avrom Yitzhak Yaakov. And the Gemara is going to give that teretz shortly. But this Gemara was not aware of the previous Gemara. It was a different discussion in a different mesifta, a different yeshiva in Bavel. And therefore, they asked the question innocently. After all, none of us owned Eretz Yisrael until the Bo'i Ha'aretz came into Eretz Yisrael. So therefore, they should not have gotten a double chelik in Chefer. What means B'yaseidus O'yaholim? Those are the pegs that were used to hold down the sides of an oil. And Rishbam points out, the Gemara is just using that as an example. What the Gemara means to say is, when we say that they received a double portion in Chayfa's Yerusha, because of their father's Slavchad, we're talking about in Metaltalin and not Karkois. Why do we talk about, for instance, Yesedus Eholim, why don't we talk about in chairs, tables, pens and pencils, pillows, whatever you want, any other type of metalklin, vosep is davki seidus eholim, said Rishbam, because everybody had an oil. Why did everybody have an oil in the midbar? As we know, that's why we're celebrating today Sukkis. Ki basukkis oishavti es b'nei Yisrael b'yitziyah oisam yeretz etzroyim. Okay, there's a machlokes, whether it's the anani kovoid, or whether it's Sukkis mamish. But if you hold Sukkos Mamish, then for sure we got the Sukkos from HaKadosh Baruch Hu. And even if not, people were not homeless. They didn't just sleep on the desert floor. Everybody built an oil of some sort. One second. So therefore, the Yesedos, the pegs of those oilim, those were constantly on the move. As you know, they moved during the 38 years. They had 20 or 42 Masois altogether, but some of the Masois were the very outsets, some Masois at the end. Anyway, so these Yesedos were never cemented in the ground. They were only put there temporarily to hold down the walls of the tent, of the oil. And that's why these are considered metaltalin. And when we are talking about in the Mishnah that the Benois Tzolofkad received three portions, says Rishbam, it means three portions of both karka and metaltalin. However, when we're talking about the Chelik Bechoira, that is referring solely to the chelik of the metalklin. So even though our Mishnah uses the expression they got three chalokim, it doesn't mean three chalokim in Eretz Yisrael. According to this teretz, there were only two chalokim in Eretz Yisrael. And that they got three chalokim is referring to in metalklin they got three chalokim. And that's how you learn the pshat according to the first teretz. The second teretz goes back to what we said before, what we learned already yesterday, and that is, says the Gemara, Masav Rabba, Rabbi Yehuda, Oymetz, Leithnach, Leithnach, Gim, Chalokim, Shenemar. Our Mishnah didn't bring the Pasik, but the Braisa brings the following Pasik, that how do we know that Bnei Slofchad got Chalokim in the Aretz? In fact, they didn't just get three, they got four. And we explained yesterday, how did they get four? Because in addition to Slofchad's own portion, and the two portions in Chefer, but Slofchad's brother had also passed away in the Minbar, and therefore Tzlovchad was also Zolche B'Yerusha from his brother, and now the Benoist Tzlovchad are getting the fourth Chelik. There was another Mandiyama that two brothers passed away. We discussed that yesterday. But what do we see? How do you know Dalit Chalokim Shenemar Yiplu Chevli Menashe Asura? And Rishbam explained yesterday, Bimor explained yesterday, they had the six Batei Av and the four Chalokim. And the Chevel that we're talking now is not talking about metal, we're talking about a portion of Nachal in Eretz Yisrael. Look, Shteitach Kanz Klor, that we're not talking about metalchel, we're talking about even karka. Elamarab Eretz Yisrael Mukhzekis, he, Eretz Yisrael is very mukhzik to us, to Klal Yisrael, from the days of Avram Yitzhak Yaakov, because the Kodesh Baruch Hu said to them, Ovisak Toishim, your children are going to get a chedik baritz, it's considered to be mukhzik from that time on. Now, Barry has a question.
In general, when we speak about a bechor taking pishnayim, not in the case of an osmachad or osmachad or paper or anybody, we're talking about a bechor taking pishnayim, that's karka and metalkalin. In general, I just want to clarify that.
Yes.
That's the parak.
Yes, the answer is yes.
Thank you.
But of course, it had to be motzui and mukhzik at the time. But whatever is motzui and mukhzik, person passes away. Min hatoira, the Bechor takes, if he had real estate, he takes two portions of real estate. If he had stocks, certificates, he gets two-thirds of stocks. If he had silver kosa, silver becha, he gets two-thirds. He gets two-thirds of it. No, I shouldn't say two-thirds. He gets two portions, as opposed to all the other brothers that only get one portion. Good. Getting back to Agmar. So now we entered two pshatim in our Mishnah. One pshat is that we're only talking about metalton when we said they got three portions, and the second Eretz Yisrael, no, in Eretz Yisrael also they got three portions because Klal Yisrael owned Eretz Yisrael even before the Boya Aretz. It was Muxik, Me'aviseinu, from Rami Yitzchak V'Yakov. Me'isvei, Omer Chidcha. Chidcha tells us the following. Shimon Hashik Moini Hoyuli Chover Mitalmid Rabbi Akiva. Chidcha says he had a good friend by the name of Shimon Hashik Moini, who was a Talmud of Rabbi Akiva. V'kakoy Rabbi Shimon Hashik Moini Oimer. Rabbi Shimon Hashik Moini used to say, Yodeya hoyu Moshe Rabbeinu Shabbanois Lovchad Yorja say, Avaloy hoyu Yodeya im Noitlois Chede Bechoyra im Lav. Meaning, we know about the whole story of Benois Lovchad, that Benois Lovchad came to Moshe Rabbeinu, and they said, Lomani Gora, why shouldn't we get a Chedek in Eretz Yisrael? After all, we had a father, Avinu Meis Bamidbar, Vuhu Loi Hoya, he didn't have a bain, Vuhu Loi Hoya, Mi'ad Ne'odim Al Hashem Al Das Koirach, Avinu Meis Bamidbar, Vuhu Loi Hoya, B'Soicho Eida, Ne'odim Al Hashem Al Das Koirach, Ki B'chetzi Meis, Uvodim Loi Hoyu Loi. So Moshe Rabbeinu listened to what they said, and said, Gut Gefrekt, I'm going to ask the Rabbeinu Shalom. And he asked the Rabbeinu Shalom, and Kodesh Baruch Hu said, Kei Benois Lovchad Doiv Rois. They're 100% right. Tos Nosin Titelam Achuz Ez Nachal B'Soich HaChei Aviyam. V'Avart Ez Nachal Zaviyan Lehem. So now the question is, what were the parameters of Moshe Rabbeinu's absence of knowledge on this issue? From the Torah it sounds like, you know, it comes to Hilchas Nachlis, you know, that was not one of Moshe Rabbeinu's courses when he was there up in Shemayim. He learned all about many other aspects of Halacha, but he didn't learn anything about Hilchas Nachlis. That's what it would seem in the Torah. Said Shimon Hashik Moini, Na Chas V'Sholem. Yedeyoi Moshe Rabbeinu Shebenoi Slavchad Yorsha Sein. He knew the initial Halacha, that if there's no Bein, then the Bonois Yarshin. How did Moshe Rabbeinu know that? So Rishbam says, based on two things. Number one, we all know that back in Mora, which was before Matan Torah, HaKadosh Baruch had already given at that time Dinin. So Nachlois is part of Dinin. So yes, also Shabbos and other things, but Dinim in particular. So since that was given in Mora, then of course Moshe Rabbeinu knew that. It says in the Pasuk, Shom Sam Loi Choyku Mishpat V'Shom Nisol, back in Mora. That's number one. Number two, Moshe Rabbeinu could have derived the halacha from Hilchos Yibam. As we'll see, Mechem on the Amid Beis, and as is well known, the Benoi Slavchad said to Moshe Rabbeinu, Mamanifshach, if a daughter is considered to be like a son for Hilchos Yibam, and therefore a woman that is a, unfortunately, an almana, and only has a daughter, if she does not fall to Yibam, she's potur. Why? Because a bas is like a ben. Then like by Yerusha, also a bas should be like a ben. Elamai, if you're going to go and tell me, no, that the din of Yibam has to be davka a ben. And if there are daughters, the mother falls the Yibam, or faket. If you hold legabe Yerusha, if you're going to go and tell me only boys get a nachla and girls don't get a nachla, then even if an almana has a bunch of daughters, she should also fall the yibam. In other words, make it consistent. Either a bas is a backup ben equivalent, and therefore that's why she's potter from, the mother's potter from yibam, and that's why the daughter should go and get a nachla. And if you say, no, only banim for purposes of yibam, only banim for purposes of a nachla. So if that's the case, just like by, you're telling me that the girls don't get an achla, so then the mothers of the almanos that still have girls should have to fall yibam to a husband. Otherwise, the two halachas are inconsistent. That's what we'll see mitzvah in the Amud Beis. The Benoi Slavchad said to Moshe Rabbeinu, and Moshe Rabbeinu said, "You're 100% right." So therefore, Moshe Rabbeinu knew about hilchos nachlois, that just like a girl patters from yibam, a girl receives a nachla if there is no ben. There's nothing to talk about. So what was the shayla that Moshe Rabbeinu had about the chelik b'choira, the double chelik? That's what he didn't know. Whether it's considered to be ra'uy or considered to be muchsak. Azeihat Reb Shimon HaShikmoidi gizot. Nachla. The Braisa brings Reb Chidker, he said that Shimon HaShikmoidi was a chover, and he said, Yedeo Moshe Rabbeinu Shimon HaShikmoidi Yehoi Shisein, Avloi HaYedea Im Loik Nischeid B'choira Laf. Truth be told, that the whole parsha of Nachla, where we start off that the Bnei Slavchad complained about not getting a Nachla, and the Kadosh Baruch Hu said, "You're right," and then it says in the pasuk, "Ish ki yomus v'nei loyv avart v'nachlos levitoy v'mein lebas," and then they'll give the chelik to Echov, and if there are no achim, give to Achiyoviv, and so on and so forth. All of these psukim should have been written by Moshe Rabbeinu, just like Kol HaTorah Kula was given to Moshe, and the Kodesh Baruch Hu told him what to write down. So the Torah should have said that Vayidab Hashem Moshe Leimor, the parasha of Nachlois. And the Shazochim Benoi Slavchad V'nivcha Nichtava Al Yodan, Benoi Slavchad, who were Tzidkaniyois, they were Zoichat Machadish Ashtik Torah. Like the Gemara is going to say in another moment, Megalglins Chus Al Yidei Zakai, because they were wonderful, wonderful women. Where it says they were Darshoni Yosem, Tzidkoni Yosem, Chachmoni Yosem. Therefore, Kadosh Baruch Hu gave them as a special kibbut. They weren't able to get Aliyah now in Chol HaMoed, so, but at least give them another kibbut. The kibbut is that the Parshas Nachlis are known throughout history as having been, in a sense, initiated, created, organized, whatever you'd like to call it, inaugurated by the Bnei Slavchad, Nikla Yotam. We all know the din of Makoshish Eitzim, and there's a machloikis whether Tzlofchad was the Makoshish Eitzim. Anyway, and it came to the Makoshish Eitzim, the question was, what should we do with the Makoshish Eitzim? And again, Moshe Rabbeinu said, I'm going to ask a Kodesh Baruch Hu, and he's going to let us know. Says, however, the Gemara, Moshe Rabbeinu knew that he gets Misa, Shenema, Mechalel Mois Yumas. Crystal clear, anybody's Mechal Shabbos. The Mekoshish Eitzim was a Mechal Shabbos. What his exact Aveira was itself is a Machloikis in the Gemara, whether it was because he collected together the Eitzim, whether he was Tolesh the Eitzim, whatever he did, but he was Oiver on one of the Lamates Molochis. So Moshe Rabbeinu knew that he gets Misa, Avalo Yedeh Be'ezim Misu Yomis, but he didn't know which one. Does he get Skila? Does he get Sreifa? Herik? Chenik? That he didn't know at the time. The truth of the matter is, this like all the other parashas in the Torah, it just said, if you have someone that is chas v'shalom mechal Shabbos, he gets skila. Because the mekoshish unfortunately was the first one sentenced for being mechal Shabbos, he unfortunately is going to get the credit for this shtickle Torah being written in, so to speak, in his schus. What's the reason why? L'amircha comes to tell you that golden rule, Shmegalgan schus al yedei zakai, v'choiva al yedei chayiv. The Bnei Slavchad who were zakai, they were wonderful women, they were tzidkoniyos, etc. So therefore they had a special schus, that these few psukim the Torah are nikra al shemam, were put in because of them. And similarly, the halach of skila on Shabbos, unfortunately for the Mekoshish Eitzim, he became known as the one that kind of established the law in the Torah. Without him, Torah wouldn't have said it. That's how the Gemara says, one second, are you telling me that had it not been for B'nai Slavchat, had it not been for the Mekoshish Eitzim, we would have left out two parshias in the Torah, the parsha of Nachlois and the parsha of which Misa a Mechal Shabbos gets? You have to have all of those halachas. Otherwise, Rishbam says in the Amud Aleph, maybe we left out another 10 parshias in the Torah, because since they never happened in the times of the Midbar, that's why they were not written in the Torah, and therefore maybe Hashem Yisbarach Kaviyachal held back 5 or 10% of the Torah, which he never gave, because there was never any practical application. Says Rishbam, that's what Reb Shimon Hashik Moini is telling us in this brisa. Ach, every piece of the Torah that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave is what he wanted to give. There's nothing that he held back, so to speak, because there was no practical halacha l'maisa. So how come then these two pieces were only included after the Menei Slavchot complained and after the Mekoshish Eitzim sinned? The reason is because of this rule of Megalgan Schus Eidei Zakai U'mechayv Al Yechai. But of course, had there not been a Mekoshish Eitzim, and had there not been Menei Slavchot, there would have been a Parsha of Nachla, and they would have said Befeish in the Torah, the din of what a Mechal Shabbos gets, and he gets Skila. So they, if you will, in the terms of the B'nai Slavcha, they get credit, and he, unfortunately, Mekosh Eitzim, gets a debit for their role in these two parts of the Torah being given. Anyway, that's the end of the Braisa. But we're asking Akasha now, right? The Gemara started off, mit meisvei. We said a moment ago, according to Rabbah, that Eretz Yisrael muchzekesi already from earlier generations, not only the Boi Aretz, but already before that, for Eretz Yisrael, of Yisrael Kedaita Eretz Yisrael muchzekesi, or muchzekes, my komestab kalei, what then is the shayla that Moshe Rabbeinu had? Right? The Gemara said that Moshe Rabbeinu knew the Hilchis Nachlais. The only reason why he said, I don't know the answer, is because he didn't know the din of Chelik B'chayra. But you're telling me that Rabbah already told us that the B'nai Slav could get a Chelik B'chayra because Eretz Yisrael was Muchzik. So then what was Moshe Rabbeinu Shaila? He knew the Hilchis Nachlais from Mara and from Hilchis Yibam. He knew the din of that Bechor is not to Pishnayim, that Eretz Yisrael is considered to be Muchzik because of Rabbah, that Rabbah said Eretz Yisrael Muchzik, you see? So what was then the Shaila of Moshe Rabbeinu? Is the Chayra Raya that what Rabbah says that Eretz Yisrael was Muchzik is not so simple, Rabbah Yisai. Zokti Gemara, he gufa kamestap kalei. Oh! What Rabbah concluded on the Amud Aleph, that conclusion is based on Moshe Rabbeinu and the story of the B'nai Slavchad. Until the story of B'nai Slavchad, Moshe Rabbeinu Taka didn't know that Eretz Yisrael is considered to be Muchzik, and therefore he didn't know whether B'nai Slavchad should be entitled to two portions because of Chayfer. However, now that was the question that Moshe Rabbeinu posed to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu paskened and said, they do get a double chelik. If you're wondering, where does it say in the Torah that HaKadosh Baruch Hu said to Moshe Rabbeinu, give them a double chelik? If you go back to Kuf Yud Ches Amid Beis, which we learned yesterday, the last 5 lines on the Amid, Kuf Yud Ches Amid Beis, you see that the Gemara quotes, Tisanya Nosek Titin Lehem. That's not the beginning of the Pasuk. The Pasuk begins, Kein B'nai Slavcha Doivreis, B'nai Slavcha are right. Nosen Titen Lehem, Achuzes Nachla B'toich Achei Aviyem, Vavartes Nachas Aviyem Lehem. That's a pretty long Pasuk just to say, yes, they get a Chelik. So the Gemara said, Nosen Titen Lehem Zu Nachas Aviyem, B'toich Achei Aviyem. Zu, I'm sorry, that's a run-on sentence. Nosen Titen Lehem Zu Nachas Aviyem. Give them the portion of Slavcha. Which means go and give them Nosan titin lehem zu nachas aviyem. Then the pasuk continues on betoich hachei aviyem. What does that mean? Zu nachas aviyem. That's chayfer. Vavartes nachas aviyem lehem zu chelik b'chayra. Ah, since vavartes nachas aviyem lehem, this is the chelik b'chayra that we just spoke about. That was a Kodesh Baruch Hu answering Moshe Rabbeinu Shaila. Moshe Rabbeinu said, says Rabbi Shimon Ashik Moini, Avad Moshe Rabbeinu knew that there's a parish of Nachlois. He just didn't know the sin of the Pishnayim. Says the Kodesh Baruch Hu, Vavartis Nachlois Avin Lehen. That's the halacha of the Pishnayim of the Bechayra. The Chassid, back to the Gemara here on Kuf Yud Tes Amid Beis. He goofed come and stopped Kalei. The Chassid says, the Pasuk Sat Oysa Lechem, Moi Rosh Ani Hashem. Where is this pasuk? This pasuk, the beginning of Shemois. It says, "Vayisi eschem al aretz." This is Torah Ora Sholem Aleph, or number one. Kodesh Baruch Hu says, "Vayisi eschem." This is the Eliyahu Navi kais, right? The Itzeis Vitzalt Vigalt Vilkachti. Vayisi eschem al aretz Hashenasasi Yes Yodi. I'm going to bring you to the holy land, to the aretz Hashenasasi Yes Yodi that I swore. Says the Kodesh Baruch Hu Kaviyochel. I'm giving it to you, Yid in the Midbar. I'm giving it to you, my Rasha Ani Hashem. I'm giving it to you. So now, what was Moshe Rabbeinu's question? He didn't know what the term my Rasha means in this connection. If you look up the Webster's dictionary definition of the word my Rasha, you have two possibilities. Possibility number one is Yerushi Lechem Yaviseichem. That the people in the beginning of Sefer Shmois, which means in the beginning of the 40 years of the Midbar, they're already getting now Yerusha today. And the Asatu Yisrael Lechem doesn't mean a future generations. To the Yidden that are living now, the Mesa Midbar, they got the Eretz Yisrael as Yerusha. It's already theirs. And therefore it's Muchsik. Maybe the Lashon Moirasha is strange. Why didn't it say, if it's just Yerusha, it could have said, Nasat Oysa Lechem, Yerusha Ani Hashem. Why did it say Moirasha? Moirasha, says Rashbam, means that a Kodesh Baruch Hu is designating the people at the beginning of the Midbar that they will be Moirishan. Moirishan means that they will be the ones that will give a bequest to their children or Enoch, or future generations of Eretz Yisrael. So not that they themselves received it, but they will be Moirishan. They will leave a legacy to their children or their grandchildren that when they enter Eretz Yisrael, they'll get Eretz Yisrael. Oh, so therefore, if you say it's Yerusha Hilacham, it's Muxik. If you say that they're just Moirishan, then they're not Muxakim, it's Ra'i. That was Moshe Rabbeinu's Shaila. Are they Muxik? Are they Ra'i? Partially to Vayu, then after that, Kodesh Baruch Hu was poishit, and he said, told to Moshe Rabbeinu that the word Moirasha has both definitions. It's Yerusha Lechem Yaviseichem, it's Taka Yerusha, and Moirasha Ben Yoshim, and you're going to be Moirashit to your children, your grandchildren, even though you yourselves physically are not going to receive a Yerusha, but legally it already belongs to you, and you're going to Moirashit, you're going to leave it as a legacy for future descendants. Ma'ayinu Dechsiv, we say this every day in the Shira without even realizing. It says, "Tivieima v'situaima b'harnach loscha." We are saying to Kodesh Baruch Hu, "You, Kodesh Baruch Hu, are going to take tivieimoi." Tivieima means to go and take them or bring them, v'situaimoi, and to plant them b'harnach loscha. Where is that? Mochin l'shivtcha pa'alta Hashem mikdash Hashem koin yedecha. You, Kodesh Baruch Hu, are going to take them and plant them in Eretz Yisrael. Why do we use the third party, Tivyei Moi? It should say, Tivyei Nu, Visita Ennu, Kodesh Baruch Hu, you're going to bring us, and you're going to plant us into Eretz Yisrael. Those Yidden that are now just crossed the Amsuf, they are expecting within a matter of days or weeks to go into Eretz Yisrael. It says, Yimara, Tivyei Nu, Loi Nemar, El Tivyei Moi. When the Bnei Yisrael were saying the Shira after they crossed the Yam, they didn't even realize what they were saying b'nevuah. What they were saying is, we, although we are entitled to go and get a chelik baretz, but unfortunately we're not going to get the chelik This is going to go to future generations to be a moi, see to a moi, and not to be a nu. And now the Gemara continues on. So bottom line is we answered our kasha. We started off by saying, Rabbi said it's a dover poshet that Eretz Yisrael is muchzik hi la me'aviseinu, at least from the times of the Yidden in the Midbar. And so therefore that's why Slavchad was able to get a double chedek, and that's why the Benoit Slavchad got a double chedek. Aye, but the Braise of Shimon HaShik Moini says that Moshe Rabbeinu didn't know. So the Gemara says, Taka Moshe Rabbeinu didn't know, and Rabbi's halacha that Eretz Yisrael is muchzik, that was the tshuva that HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave Moshe Rabbeinu when he said, Nosatit Lehem, and then out afterwards, the end of the pasuk which says, Ba'avart is nachas aviyin lehem, the pasuk that we dash in Kuf Yud Ches Amid Beizu, that's the Mishpat HaBchoyra. So now that was the answer HaKadosh Baruch Hu gave to Moshe Rabbeinu, so Rab is now codifying it in Torah Shebal Peh and saying that's how the Bnei Slavchad got the double chedek, because that was the tshuva Hashem gave to Moshe Rabbeinu. But now that we went into this, the inyan of the Bnei Slavchad, Gemara goes a little bit to, if you will, a little bit of Agadata, talking more about this, and most of this Agadata is familiar to us because a lot of it is brought by Rashi in Chumash. What does it say in the pasuk? The Bnei Slavchad came and they posed their question about their right to receive the chelik of their father as well as the chalokim of their grandfather from Chayfer. They posed this question before Moshe and before Elazar and before the Nesiim and the Chalaida. Now, obviously from the Lashon HaPasuk, it sounds like they asked Moshe first, and then they went on to Elazar and the Nesiim. Frank Demora Efsha Umdulafne Moshe, Vle Umrulahan Davar, Vamdulafne Hanesiim, Machala Eida. Doesn't make sense. Moshe made it didn't know the answer. Elazar didn't know the answer. So, okay, so let's go and ask the Nesiim. Is there anything that anybody in Klal Yisrael knew on his own without having received the transmission from Moshe Rabbeinu of what HaKadosh Baruch Hu transmitted to Moshe? Nobody was machadish anything. There was no tshuvah svarim, no chidushe Reb Shimon, chidushe Reb Meisha, chidushe Reb Shloima. That didn't exist. Any Torah that anybody knew was because they received it from Moshe Rabbeinu. So if Moshe Rabbeinu didn't know the halacha l'gabi hilchos nachlois, or like the Gemara just said now, that l'gabi hilchos double portion in Eretz Yisrael, whether it's muchzik, whether it's roi, if he didn't know, Elazar is going to know, Nesim are going to know, Kala'id are going to know. That doesn't make sense. Efsha omnul v'nei Moshe, v'nei omnul endover, v'omnul v'nei anasim, v'chala'id. Ela sareis ha-mikra v'darsheyu, divrei Rabbi Yoshe. Rabbi Yoshe says, you should really reverse the pasuk and say, v'atamoidnul v'nei o'eda, they ask the menfolk, do you know the halacha about nachlois, about the two chalokim in Chayfer? They didn't know. They went to Nesiim. Nesiim didn't know. They went to Elazar Koyim. Elazar didn't know. They finally went to Moshe Rabbeinu. So sorry, it's a mikra. You got to turn the mikra around. Now you're wondering to yourself, if that's the way you're supposed to go and turn the mikra around, so why doesn't the Pasuk Taka say it that way? Why did it say that Tamoyne Lefnei or Eida Lefnei Nesiim Lefnei Elazar Lefnei Moshe? Instead of saying Lefnei Moshe and saying, well, yeah, yes, reread it backwards. I mean, then why didn't it say it frontwards? So the Rishbam answers the question. He says, because if it would be written in that form in the Torah, it would be a slight against Moshe Rabbeinu. Because then Moshe Rabbeinu would be at the end of the Pasuk. Would say, Vatamoyna, they stood in front of the Eid, and in front of the Nesiim, and in front of Lazar, and then in front of Moshe. So Moshe is the last guy on the line. That's not nice. Moshe Rabbeinu is the Godel Hador, the Raya Mehemna of Klal Yisrael, the Raya Neman. He's at the back of the bus. He should be in the front passenger seat. So that's why the Pasuk Taka says Moshe first, but in terms of the chronology, he was really the last to be asked among these four groups. That's Rabbi Yoshe. Abba Chonan Omar Mishum Reb Lezer. It's not that this happened seriatim, one after the other, but this all happened simultaneously. The Moshe Rabbeinu was giving a shir, and Elazar was on one side, and the Nesiim on the other side, the Eidah was in front of them. You remember Rashi brings this in Chumash as well, that every time Moshe Rabbeinu repeated something from the Ribbono Shel Olam, he repeated it four times. He heard it first himself, and then he repeated before the Aharon HaKohen, and then he repeated it before the children of Aharon, then the Siyam, and then Kol HaEda. So, when he repeated it each time, then Aharon HaKohen went to the right side, and the other children went to the left side. You recall, I'm sure, from either Rashi and Chumash or the Gemara. So everybody was sitting together, and then, I guess the Shir was about to end, and the Menoy Slavcha knocked on the door. No, come to Rai. How can we help you, ladies? We got a Shaila. No, what's the Shaila? Shaila is about the Nachla and the double Nachla. So this was said in front of everyone, Moshe, Lazar, Koyin, and the Siyam Echaloid. So we have two pshat. Pray to more of a Micah Mifrigi. After all, this has no applicable ramification today. Okay, so it's just a question of how you explain that pasuk. Is there enough kemina? Or why are they arguing? In other words, why can't Rabbi Yoshi say, I agree with Rabbi Yonison, with Abba Chana, Mishim Rabbi Lezer? Why can't Abba Chana agree with Rabbi Yoshi? See, what my kemif ligi? Mar sover cholkin kovel etalman mokam arav. Mar sover ein cholkin. That when you have a Rav and a Talmud together, that you don't, let's say you're at a meeting, or you're at a chasana, or whatever, and the Gadol HaDor walks in. Rav Moshe Feinstein Zatzal walks in, and he walks in together with one of his Talmidim. So now the speaker, to go and give cover that everybody should stand up, Rav Moshe comes in, is he going to go and say, oh, Rav Moshe, I have good news for you. We have the Gadol HaDor, Rav Moshe Feinstein Zatzal, just walked in together with Yankel Smith, one of his Talmidim. Is that the proper thing to do, that he should mention Yankel Smith? Yankel Smith should be under the table in front of Rav Moshe Feinstein. He's Afer Raglav. Why is he making reference to him? Ah, so that's the machloikis over here. First one, the Yama holds Cholkin cover the Talmud Makam Rav. That even though we're talking about the Rav, it's proper to give cover to the Talmudim too. So that's why they were all together at one time in the Bais Medrash. And the Torah says Moshe Rabbeinu was there, and also Elazar and Nesiim and Eidah, even though these are all Talmidim of Moshe, but Cholkin cover the Talmud Chacham Kamara, or to the Talmud. Omar Sava in Cholkin, we don't give covet to a Talmud Mokamarav. So if they were all sitting together in Mismedish, we wouldn't say in the headlines, ah, the Menoy Slavchad spoke in front of Moshe and in front of Elazar, in front of Nesiim. We'd only say Moshe Rabbeinu. Who would even talk about the others? So what's pshat then? Pshat is Sarei Samikra B'Dorsheyu. First they pose the question to the Eidah, and then to the Nesiim, then to Elazar, and then to Moshe. Zokti Yimara, what's the halacha l'maisa? Are we choylik cover the Talmud Mokam Arav or not? Ve'ilchasa is cholkin. Yes, when we mention the Talmud Chacham, we also mention his Talmud. Ve'ilchasa, but the other halacha is ein cholkin. In other words, Yimara doesn't say Tanya, but apparently these are two brises, or maybe these are both amiroim, and they're both saying, one saying cholkin, one says ein cholkin. So Gemara, please make up your mind, which is the right way. Is the Hilchasa Chalkin or not? Kasha Hilchasa Hilchasa. Have them Hilchasa Loi Kasha. Had the Palig Le Rabbe Yakra, the Palig Le Rabbe Yakra. See, if Ramesha Zatzal, when he came into a meeting or whatever, if he would start off the meeting and say, Rabbi Yisai, I just wanted to introduce to you my Talmud, who is over here, Rabbi Yankov Smith, and now I'll tell you the Shir or the Halacha that I wanted to, the Drasha that I wanted to give. So you see that he himself is Machalik covered the Talmud in front of him. So if that's the case, then you just should follow in his footsteps. Just like Ramesha is Machalik covered the Talmud Mokam Rab, we should also Machalik covered the Talmud Mokam Rab. However, if you find that the rabbi does not normally go and be Machalik covered his Talmudim, it doesn't mean that he's not nice to them and idle and fine. It just means in public he doesn't make a tzimis about them. So then you shouldn't either, since that was not his derech, if you will. So with this we finish the two pshatim in that pasuk of Atamoid Lefnei Moshe, and now we go on a little further into the Bnei Slavchad Tana. Bnei Slavchad Chachmoni Yosein, they were very wise. Darshoni Yosein, they knew how to darshan psukim in the Torah. And Sidkoni Yosein, and they were very, very righteous. And the Gemara is going to explain what each of these terms mean. Chachmoni Yosein Lefshalafi Sho'a Dibru. They were Chachmoniyos in that they knew when to come in and when to pose the question. What do we mean? The Yom Rav Shmuel bar Rav Yitzchak. That particular day, Moshe Rabbeinu was giving a shir, a drasha in Hilchas Yibam. And presumably there were placards all over saying, come to Moshe Rabbeinu's shir, it's starting 5 o'clock in the afternoon. Please, come on in, you'll know about Hilchas Yibam. Okay, the Bnei Slavchad had already known a little bit about Parshas Yevamim. Apparently they had gone to at least elementary Beis Yaakov. So they said, okay, we'd also like to hear this shir. And they came in and listened to this Parshas Yevamim. Shenema, it says in the Pasuk, Yesh v'achim yachtov. What's the din? Now, if you notice, the Gemara leaves out the key words that we need for purposes of the Gemara. Ki yesh v'achim yachtov, umeis achan mihen. One of the brothers passed away. Uvein ein loy. He didn't have a son. No son. It's a din of Yibam. Only says Uvein ain't lie. Doesn't say Ubas ain't lie. Just says Uvein ain't lie. Aha. Amru loy. So now the Benoi Slavchad is saying to Moshe Rabbeinu, Im kiben onu chashuvim, if you're telling me that in the absence of a boy, the girls are also considered to be sons, in other words, they are next in line. To know lanu nachlo kiben. So now, although our father Tzlofka did not have any sons, but give the nachla to us because we're the backup for the bet. Imlav, and if you're telling me no, that a bas does not succeed to the ben's rights, and so therefore they're basically off the chart. If that's the case, imlav to siyab mimenu, then our mother should have yibum because the pasuk says uvein ain loy. Doesn't say bas; it just says uvein. So ibazoi, our mother should be misyab. Mayad Moshe Rabbeinu did Mayakar Moshe b'tortel from the Hashem. He said, "You know, good gefreit. We're going to ask a Kodesh Baruch Hu. What's taka the reason why by Yibam that Aloch is not only bein but also bas?" Says Rishbam, based on the same drasha that we had the other day, the word ein could have been written without a yud, just like me'ein yavami l'hakav l'chashem b'Yisrael, or just like me'ein something haloichi manu. He refuses, so that Ein is missing the Yud. Here too it could have been Ein without a Yud. But the fact that there is a Yud, that goes and tells you Ayin Alav, and Ayin Alav means not only see whether the son has children or Einiklach, but also see whether the son has sisters. And if there is no son, see if there are any descendants. Gesundheit, Barry. And once we find there is the descendant, then there is no din of Yibum. So the same thing applies also to Gabi Hilchas Nachlois. If there are no sons and no enikach of the sons, then it goes to the daughters. Anyway, that's what we see Chachmoni is saying, that they were smart to pose this question during or at the end of the shir, dealing with Hilchas Yibam, because these two parashiyas fit hand in glove, one with the other. Darshoni is saying, how do we know Darshoni? Shehayu Oimreis, ilu hayu loy ben, loy dibarnu. They said to Moshe Rabbeinu, we know that the Torah says that there's a din of nachla for a ben, so we're not going to argue that. We're not going to even talk about that. What we're saying is, in our case, there is no ben, so the nachla should come to us, to the banois. Frank Dimara, Vatanya, there's another brice that says that they were darshaniyos, show you oimois ilo hoyoloi bas, loy dibano. If Slavka would have had a daughter, we would not have spoken. Frank Dimara, what does that mean? That's ridiculous. Of course, Slavchad had a bas. He had 5 banois, and they're the ones that are talking. They're darshaning. What does that mean? Show you oimis ilohayulay bas. So Amrabiyamia lechoyresam mikan bas. We have to take out the tuf of bas, and we have to put in a nun, and have the two brises consistent. Otherwise, this brise just doesn't make any sense. Labayo Amabayis and nishkeferlich. We could leave it bas. Omar, Rabayo Omar. What the darshonios, the benois Slavchad said was that afilu hoya bas leben loy dibarnu. The only reason why we're bringing this issue up with you, Moshe Rabbeinu, is because our father Tzlofcha neither had a son, nor did he leave an einikol, a bas of a ben. Because had he left the bas of a ben, even though that happens to be one generation removed, and we are much closer, We know the halacha. It's the tzedoikim, as you recall, from 2 or 3 days ago, that argued, madach, the einikul, who is a girl, is receiving, then certainly the child, who is a girl, should certainly receive. And you remember that that was one of the pitpeid zokin echad, Rabbi Yechon ben Zakkai said, you're all wrong, and he brought the raya from the nice lafchad. Anyway, the point of all of this is that, says Abaya, you could read this brisa with the word bas, but not bas meaning daughter of Tzlafchad, but a girl, granddaughter of Tzlafchad. That's what they're referring to. That Tishon is saying, Yo'imreis ilu hoya bas liban ben loy dibar. What's it kind of saying? 5 lines to the bottom, Shloy nisu el hagin lehen. They only married those men that were proper and appropriate to them. Now, what means proper and appropriate? So Rishbam goes over a number of the psukim that we have in the Torah. Remember that after they received the good word that they're going to be able to get the Nachlan Eretz Yisrael, then other children from Bnei Chayfer said, uh-oh, what's going to happen is eventually, or maybe Bnei Menashe said, eventually what's going to happen is these girls are going to get married. If they get married out of the Shevet, then all of those Nachlis that should be part of the Shevet of Menashe is going to be transferred from our Shevet to another Shevet. And you all know that the answer, Kadosh Baruch Hu said, was for the first generation that lets the Bnei Slavchad only marry within their Shevet. And that's what they did. But it's not only they married people within their Shevet, however, Rishbam says there are a couple of psukim which suggest that even within their Shevet, they should only marry those people that were wholly appropriate to them. If you look at the Rishbam, about 6 lines from the bottom, 7 lines, at the end of the line it says, Shulay Nisu El Hagim Lehen, Kiram Moran Lekaman, like we're going to say shortly. 6 lines from the bottom, at the beginning of the line. Benoy Slavchad Hutrali Nasi Lechol Mishiyirtsu. They could marry anybody. Kidachsiv La Toive Neyan, Tiena Linoshim. Elamani Mekayim, Lishmachas Matiavi, and Tiena Linoshim. Eitz a Toive Siena Kosov. In other words, the way the Rishbam is learning now, that this Gemara is not telling that there was an absolute Isur or prohibition, but this was solid, sound advice. Shliyanosu Elohogun Lehen. Only marry someone that is appropriate. Alma mishpachas matei avien hagunim hoyu. We see from this that the mishpacha of their mata, in fact, those were the most appropriate for them. The ashkon shenizulam, and we find that they taka married them. Kedachsiv vatiyena machle v'noya chogla milka v'sirta lebnei doidei and lenoshim. They all married cousins because all of these cousins were from matei avien. The avgav the hutu lovoi letoy beinei. Even though they could have married outside, they only wanted to stay with those that would be wholly appropriate. Now, the Gemara doesn't tell us what's the definition of wholly appropriate, but presumably since they had these three males, Chachmonios, Darshonios, and Tzidkonios, they didn't just take a handsome boy that had a nice lock of hair on his head, or that was nice and tall and broad shoulders. They married someone that presumably was of the same caliber as they were in terms of their chokhma, the drosha, and tzidkis. So what is all of this? What are we coming to tell you? Zokti Gemara, Sinochma. Tzidkoni is saying, Shloi Nisa Lohogan Lehen. And now the Gemara brings further rise, therefore. Toni Reblazim and Yaakov, Afilik Tanishimahen, Loi Nisis Chusim Yarboim Shadim. Even the youngest of the 5 Benoi Slavchad waited to find a chosin until she was of the age 40 years. She didn't immediately jump into Shiduchim, since they were told, you young ladies have to marry Hagunois, or Hagunim. So they waited and waited, and she waited until she was 40. Frey Timura, that's a mala to wait till you're 40. She get married earlier. Eini v'omer of Chizda. This is p'chusim v'as esrim, yeledes ad shishim. A girl that gets married prior to the age of 20, she has the possibility of having children up to the age of 60. Bas Esrim, if she married after she was already 20, he let us add our boy. Then she can have children until she's 40. Bas Aboyim, when she's over 40, she'll add your lettuce. girl doesn't get married until the age of 40, unfortunately, she may not have children. Now, in this Gemara, of course, nowadays is not precise. So you have to either explain that nishtanu hativim, that over the years that the teva of women has changed. It's like you have many Gemaras in elsewhere, in Gittin, for instance, in Misha Achsei Kerdaikis, in Perek Misha Achsei, you have two or three blot going through all different types of refuahs that a person should take if he or she are not well. And all, even the Rishonim already saying, that was beyond Mehem. You cannot rely on any of those refuahs, Bizman Azeh, because Nishtanu Hativim. So too, it could be that the Teva of women has changed over time. Or it could also mean that Al Piroiv, we're talking about the vast majority of women. The vast majority of women, if they get married less than 20, they can have children up to the age of 60. The vast majority of women over the age of 20, they can have until 40. And the majority of women over the age of 40, unfortunately, are not going to have any children after that. Bas Esrim Yeledes, if the, Bas Arboim, if she only got married at the age of 40, Shoven Yeledes, then her likelihood of being able to have children is very, very small. You ever speak to an older single, he could already be 50 years old. Yes, he wants to get married. Who does he want to get married? The girl should be not older than 34 or 35. Mister, you're already 50. You're already 60. Why are you entitled to go and get a girl that's 34, 30? I still want children. I don't want a girl that's a 56. You never had children until now, etc., etc. Anyway, so what do we see from this brisa? We see from what the Gemara just told us, Tani Rabbi Elazar, that a girl should not wait until 40. And you are saying that these five girls with tzidkani are saying, and that the fifth one waited until 40. That's not a tzidkus. That's wrong. The purpose of getting married is to bring children to the world, even if it's not a chiyav for a girl. But nevertheless, why did she wait until 40? Elamatoshin tzidkani asayu, or hein, naslen nes kiyo yechavit, because Baruch gave a special broch, a special nes, like by Yechavit, Chsiv, Yelach, Yishu, Beis Levi, Yikach, Esbas Levi, that of course we know is Amram taking back Yechavit, Frank Timorah, Efshabas, Meo Shloshim Shana, she was already 130 years old at this time. And you're going and telling me, V'karla Bas, Jim Abchama Bar Chanina, Zu Yechavit, She Hursa Bederach, V'nolda Bein Achoymes, she was pregnant, the mommy was pregnant with her when they came to into Mitzrayim, Benolda Ben Achoymes, and she eventually gave birth. She was born Ben Achoymes in Mitzrayim. Tachsev Asheyolda Oysel Levi Ben Mitzrayim. So what do I see from this? Leidodim Ben Mitzrayim, Vayrosh Shleim Mitzrayim. Okay, how long were the Yidden in Mitzrayim? For 210 years. She was born at the very outset when they came into Mitzrayim, and when Moshe Rabbeinu took Yidden out of Mitzrayim and took them, or when Moshe Rabbeinu was given the job to take them out, he was 80 years old. That being the case, she was 130 at the time that she gave birth to Moshe Rabbeinu. 210 minus 80 gets you to 130. And nevertheless, the Torah says about the Yecheva was a bas. So even though she was already 130 years old, but since Amram decided he's going to go and take her back, from this point on, she became like a young maiden once again. The sad nabasa, all of the skin became nice and smooth again. The spasha kmatim, all the wrinkles left miraculously. And she became now like a young lady once again. So tomorrow, the same thing applies to this fifth of the five bnei slavchad, that she waited until 40 because she felt the Torah says she should go and make l'mishpachas mati avi and tiyana l'noshim. It should be a hogun. So she waited for a hogun, one of her cousins. And as a reward, the Kodesh Baruch Hu rewarded her that she eventually did have children after all. And she became like Yecheved that became young once again. So stop over here, Rabbi Yisai. Mi'at Shem.